Well, Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word today will bring us light, illumination. I want to thank you for this great church, for my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of you will increase as you download within them, as you stretch the capacity of each and every one of us, as you bring us into the fullness that you have for us as your people in this day and hour. Lord, I thank you the devil is defeated, that he's under our feet. I thank you, Lord, that you're for us, not against us. And Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, I'd like to share some things with you, if that'd be all right with you. I'd like you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. So without reviewing very much, I'm just going to really pick up on probably the theme that I've been on for about 6 weeks. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's teaching or writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, I therefore, verse 1, chapter 4, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring, verse 3 is where I want to pick, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling. The New Living Translation says, make every effort to keep yourself united to the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. The Amplified puts it this way, be eager and strive earnestly to guard and to keep the harmony and oneness of the Spirit in the binding power of peace. Mr. Webster in 1828, the word bond means a union or connection, a binding. To be bound, it means as a principle, make fast by a band or by chains or fetters. Obligated by moral ties. Confined, restrained. Now I'm going to read this to you in the fullness of it, verses 1 through 4 in the Passion Translation. As a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank, given to you in your divine calling, with tender humility and quiet patience. Always demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards one another, especially towards those who may try your patience. Let me read that again. I think that'll help all of us. Especially towards those who may try your patience. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace. Be in one body and one Spirit, as you are all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny, church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let me read that last verse one more time and address it to Abundant Life Center. Being one body, Abundant Life Center, and of one Spirit, Abundant Life Center. As you, Abundant Life Center, we're all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. Amen. You were called, we were called to divine purpose, divine destiny. We're the arrows in his quiver. We're the ones that he has destinations already set for us to hit. and to finish that which he calls us to do individually as well as corporately as a church. I want to talk about being bound together in peace. Hopefully by the grace of God I can encourage you, help you. I know these scriptures, you know them. I do believe that we've stepped through a threshold where we've got to increase the measure of peace in our lives individually, as well as the peace that we carry on the everyday practical side of life. That I believe that the peace of God is part of who you are, who I am. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, it's righteousness, it's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So in the Spirit we have peace. We have available to us peace that passes all understanding. We have the availability to tap into the peace of God that will be, I believe, the greatest umpire in any one of our lives that can rule and reign in the decisions that we make. I also know that we can define peace as you go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. You understand shalom, and I'm not going to get here into too much as far as defining the Hebrew to the Greek. But what I'm going to share is on a practical level with you that we are in a season of time. If we don't maintain our peace and know how to operate in peace, we could miss the mark of what God is calling us to do in this season. I know nobody in here, probably besides me, has ever lost their cool. I know that I'm probably the only one that can run short in the areas of patience. So you can just point your finger at me and pray for me, because the Bible says confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you be healed, all right? So I get that, but I do believe that probably there's a lot of similarities to all of us, because we hear a lot of things. We hear a lot of news. There's a lot of reports you hear. There's the positive. There's the negative. There's the lies. There's the truth. Thank God that you and I could meditate on the truth and think on these things, those things that are good and pure and perfect and lovely and have a good report. Think on those things. You don't want to miss next Sunday morning with Brother Allen, because I believe he's going to focus on that passage of Scripture. Is that correct, my brother? 2 weeks. All right. Well, you want to be here in both of them, all right, in the book of Philippians. So I got some definitions, as I've ministered a lot on the areas of peace over the years that I've been ministering and pastoring and trying my best to teach without getting too preachy. But peace is to identify his peace, to staying steadily bound to his peace. That as we look into the future of the body of Christ, the increase into a stronger level of peace in our individual lives as well as the corporate life of the church, as well as the nation, that we need more. We've got to grow and become strengthened and go deeper in the peace of God that passes understanding. A few definitions I give you. Peace is the presence of God, not the absence of conflict, just in case you didn't know that. Peace is where God's calm and tranquility or his presence overrule your concerns. Psalm 138 out of the Amplified Bible, verse 7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies. Your right hand will save me. Verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy and your loving kindness, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the works of your hands. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou will keep him, say that'd be us, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And a great passage out of Romans 8, verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but," hallelujah for the but, "to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Peace is the opposite of disorder and confusion, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Amplified says, "For he is not a God of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order." Many of you have heard the testimony, I believe probably through Brother Dale. I know that many of you knew Janie Grine and Bill. But when Janie showed up at CWI in Titusville, Pennsylvania, when I was serving there, I was there before she came. We had a prophet of God by the name, I won't mention his name, that might offend some of you, because sometimes prophets have antennas on their head and they can shake up people, and he's one of them. But I seen the power of God flow through this man of God as he addressed that church, because God sent the prophet in before the manifestations of what we seen with revival. The congregation was full, and Brother Ron, I'll just use his first name, some of you will know exactly who I'm talking about, was ministering that night, and the presence of God filled the sanctuary. Now understand, when you're an associate pastor and you're serving there and serving the pastor and that, you've got to be awake. You understand me? You've got to be on your guard. You can't be laying out on the floor too long, all right? Not that that didn't happen, but at this particular night it didn't. Now, we had quite a few children, quite a few teenagers at that time, and the brother was ministering, and the Spirit of God moved into the congregation. I'll call it the cloud of glory. And everybody either went to their knees, or they sat still, or they laid out on the floor, and there wasn't a word spoken. I've never heard children that quiet, because I love kids and they can make noise and I allow it. At that particular moment in time, God's presence filled that sanctuary and went into the depths of the hearts of that body in preparation for what was to come. That night, I didn't realize that, but now as I look back and I observed and have grown myself, I seen that God the Holy Spirit was preparing a people group for an outpouring of the Spirit, for a manifestation of what we refer to as revival, but sometimes revival is not pretty. Because in the midst of revival, anything that's in darkness will be revealed in light. If hearts are not right, God will see to it that they're dealt with. So anything that needs to be exposed will be exposed if it's not repented of. And that's nothing to be afraid of. It's just what God does. Because why? Judgment starts first where? And basically, God prepared that congregation. I believe it was like an hour and a half. And everybody was quiet. Nobody moved. You couldn't move. And I know the depth of what the Holy Spirit was doing was dealing with the hearts of that body in preparation for what's to come. I hate to say this, but I'm going to just tell you because I want to prepare you. I had just stepped out of a ministry that I'd been a part of for 3 years to go and to serve with Brother Armstrong at that time, and we had already had plans to go to Florida where my son lived. We were going on vacation. So right after that night on that service, we packed our car up and we took off for vacation. Glory to God. Let them deal with all of it. So there was about four or five other leaders there at CWI. Well, God set that church up. Next thing we know is this lady by the name of Janie Grimes showing up. And she comes in and basically she's carrying the fire of God from out of the ministry out of Florida in which she'd been a part of. And I'm not there, and all of a sudden my phone starts ringing from various leaders that were serving. And revival hit. And it wasn't pretty to begin with. Anything that needed to be shaken was being shook. And because I was a part of the staff, but I was absentee at that particular moment in time, many of the other staffers, associates, would call me because they're going through some things in what's being exposed and they couldn't hardly take it. Brother Dale was very busy taking care of Bill and Janie. And in the process of that, I'm like, I hate to say this, but I'll tell you, I told my wife, we're not going back home. I don't want to deal with what's going on. Well, God and his sense of humor changed that all around, and about a week and a half later, we went back home to assist and help. But some of the things that were brought into the light, and thank God for those that would be quick to repent, would be quick to allow their minds to be renewed, would be quick to release and get out of unforgiveness or bitterness or resentment or discord or backbiting or whatever it was going on. And some of it was even worse sins than that. You hate to think that those things take place in the church. Well, this ain't my first rodeo, so nothing surprises me anymore. So when God hit that place, especially with the quietness of what the Holy Spirit was doing individually in that body, and then bringing the fire of God in, as this woman carried the fire of God, and bringing revival from Florida in, and all of a sudden, anything that could be shaken was shaken. And it lasted, I believe, almost 18 weeks. And for a while, it was every day, 7 days a week, and then we had to come to our senses and saying, you know what, we're killing the pastors here, and we had to take a day off. But in the process of that, I learned so much about what I believe is real revival. I want you to know that this house is being set up for real revival. I'm not talking about a meeting. I'm not talking even about a series of meetings. I'm talking about you individually and you corporately carrying the fire of God, carrying the passion of God, carrying the power of God, going in to your sphere of influence and bringing Jesus Christ on the main line, bringing manifestations of the love of God, manifestations of the power of God, manifestations of the wisdom of God, manifestations of goodness and mercy, manifestations of healing virtue, of miracles, signs, and wonders. So because of my experience, because of what I've seen and experienced, and, you know, we made mistakes, trust me, but we learned a lot in that season. I want to encourage you, be the first person to evaluate your heart, your life, your attitude, your perspective, and your opinion. In other words, check up on what you're about to say, what you're about to do, where you're about to go, who you're about to associate with, what you're about to let into your life, or what you're about to release in your life. In other words, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. So as I look at this, I learned a lot about the peace of God. And in seeing this, I just want to encourage you. Because what I see, I see some marvelous things that are about to take place here. I'm not saying they're going to be next week. But I feel like as a prophetic gift in the body of Christ, as part of my job is to prepare you for what is to come. So that you're able to embrace everything that Jesus Christ wants you to embrace. You're able to apply and to do what he has instructed you to do, and you're able to please him by your faith and to walk in the level of holiness that he's called you to, so that the enemy can't deceive you, so that you can't be taken out of the race, so that you don't stumble and fall or fall short of what God wants to do. I believe you're set up to be able to do that, church. I want to look at Isaiah 54:13. And if I can speak this over a church that I believe had one of the most amazing pastors that I'll probably ever meet. In Isaiah 54, verse 13, it says, "And all your spiritual children shall be disciples, taught by the Lord and obedient to his will. And great shall be the peace," hallelujah, "and undisturbed composure of your children." I'm referring to you. I'm also referring to Pastor Bill Hake. Jesus, as we look at the words of Jesus as he speaks to his disciples, as he speaks to us out of John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Amplified puts it this way, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled." Then again in John 16, verse 33, the words of the Lord, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Hallelujah, isn't that a great refrigerator promise? "Be of good cheer." Oh, I love his word. "I have," Jesus speaking, "overcome the world." Who's he done it for? For you. Now, the Amplified says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distresses, and frustrations. Be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, undoubted. For I have overcome the world, I have depraved it of its power to harm you, and have conquered it for you." That's your champion. Can you shout amen? Amen. Now go to 2 Peter, and then I'll do my best to close because I know you all have a full day. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. These scriptures are so in our face today. And I know you know them. I know that they've been taught much better than I can bring them to your plate. 2 Peter 1, verse 1, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of the Lord of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained," say that'd be us, precious faith through us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Do you think part of the divine nature is the peace of God? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you, say they're in me. For if these things be in you and abound, say they're about to abound in me. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Jesus, help us. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Aren't you glad there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah! Thank God for the blood of Jesus, my brother and sister. For if these things be in you and abound and make you, shall you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things shall things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forgotten that he hath been purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, and I speak to you individually, I speak to you corporately, I speak to this house in the name of Jesus Christ on behalf of, I believe, is the heart of God the Father for us. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Say never.
Never.
There's an assignment in that passage of Scripture in 2 Peter that requires you and me to apply and to start adding. I know a lot of you a little bit better than I did 3-4 months ago. I still don't know you that well, I know that. But I know the one who knows you. And I've come, I did some construction work after I got out of business to put food on the table for my family. And you know, from roofing to siding to paving to you name it, I got involved in it. And in working with people and helping remodel homes and flipping houses and doing the things that my wife and I have done. And it still is true, and I've been working on this place for about 6 years now. The biggest room in my house right now on Dingman Road, Guy's Mills, Pennsylvania, is room for improvement. If you don't believe me, I'll give you my wife's number, and you could probably call her, and she would probably give you the same answer. Yeah, there's plenty of room here for more improvement. Now, if you ask her to evaluate her husband, she might actually give you the same answer. Huh. I don't know about you, God's still working on me. He started a good work, but he's still in process. But I've got to yield. I've got to give up the contest, and I got to not only hear the word, but I got to do the word. And he's telling me to add. So as I look at that, I'm going to ask you, as good students of the word, and I know you are, to take this to heart. According to his divine power that he's given unto you, everything that you need pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called you, Abundant Life Center, to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto you exceedingly great and precious promises that by these you will be partakers of his divine nature. You will be able to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, your assignment, by giving it all diligence, add to your faith virtue or excellence. Add to that excellence or virtue knowledge. To that knowledge, temperance. To that temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, love. Cement these things within you. Make them a bigger part than you ever have before, because if we want to see peace multiplied in our life, we've got to do the word. Peace he has left with us. Peace from the aggravations, from the frustrations, from the turmoils, from all the stuff that goes on every day around our lives and in the world in which we live in. Say this with me as I close. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given me an umpire. That umpire's name is peace. I receive peace in abundance to a fuller degree. I will increase and become stronger in the peace of God that passes understanding. My faith in the Word of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the ministry of the great Holy Spirit, will develop. I will grow in grace and knowledge. I will increase in the peace that passes understanding in the midst of every storm, every trial, anything that is tribulating in this world. I will be steady, I will be firm, and I will be rooted and grounded in the living Word of God. No weapon that is formed against me or you will prosper. Every tongue, every bit of witchcraft, negativity, word curses, demonic assignments, they have no power over you. I nullify them. I call them dead to the ground, of no effect in your life. In the name of Jesus, you have been set free. You are an ambassador, a representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. by application every day, by application of applying oneself, by application of study to show yourself approved, by application of rightly dividing the word of truth, by application of allowing the entrance of the word, by application of yielding and allowing the revelation that is available to you, you will see increase. You will see the things that many of you seen in the dream. Many of you have been spoken over with the prophetic voice. Things that have not yet come to pass, understand, this too shall come to pass. The days that lie ahead have been ordered by me, saith the Spirit of grace. Days that you can walk in the fullness of who I am, so that you can radiate with who I have created you to be. Know that my grace will always be sufficient for you. My grace is readily available to you. So as you grow in grace, you grow in knowledge, and you develop the peace in the midst of troubles, trials, tribulations, and the what? Know that I will hold you up. I will protect you. I will keep you. For haven't I said already that I've given my angels charge over you? Haven't I said that I would protect you and keep you in all your ways? Haven't I said and told you that with long life I will satisfy you and show you my great salvation? So trust me, and it shall come to pass. You trust me with all your heart. Stop leaning to that which the world tries to put on you. And you lean unto me. Allow me to take you all the way, saith the Spirit of grace. Huh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray over this house. I pray over my brothers and sisters. I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ to show them practically as they grow, as they add, and as multiplication takes place. Show them your heart. Reveal your love in deeper, deeper levels than they've ever experienced before. Bring them through the things that have held them back in the past. Increase the anointing upon their life. Give them greater wisdom than they knew what was available. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that rests on this great body. Thank you for showing them the way and making it clear to each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.